Worried about your future in tech? Master new skills, accelerate your team's impact, and redefine what's possible with Pluralsight. We're more than just another online learning platform. We're shattering the skills gap and shaping future generations of technologists. Transform your work. Transform your team. Ready to tap in? Visit us at Pluralsight.com to learn more. My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
Welcome to another joint episode of Tomorrow's Table podcast and Solano Moms Building Community. Today, we're honored to welcome Chief Chris Poland to both the Tomorrow's Table and Solano Moms Building Community podcasts. Chief Poland is a lifelong resident of Vacaville, a proud graduate of Woolsey Wood High School, and someone whose journey in law enforcement is deeply rooted in the very community he now leads. He began his career in 1998 with the Suisun City Police Department, before returning to his hometown in 2000 to join the Vacaville's Police Department. In this episode, Chief Poland shares his vision for Vacaville safety, community engagement, and youth development. He also discusses how law enforcement can work hand in hand with families, schools, and local organizations to create a stronger, more connected community. Whether you're a parent, student, or community advocate, this conversation offers insight, transparency, and a renewed sense of connection between law enforcement and the people they serve.
Welcome back to Tomorrow's Table Podcast. I'm your host, Polkum Tienpit.
And I'm your co-host, Haley Kenyon.
And I'm your other co-host, Paulina Sweeney.
And we're here with Chief Chris Poland.
Thank you.
So growing up in Vacaville and now serving as a police chief, how has your personal journey influenced your approach to community policy?
So I think being a hometown person, my values often resonate with your values. Having lived here for about 45 years and seeing my parents and having raised a family here, you just realize that what people want is a sense of security and they want to feel safe and their quality of life matters to them. Mm-hmm. So when I took on this role, I realized that policing can't do it by itself.
And
we needed the entire community to buy into us. And I knew that from a very young age as a police officer and then taking over as a chief. You realize that doing this by yourself as a department to stand alone is impossible. And if I don't have people like you or other community partners out there supporting us, we're not going to be successful. So the community policing model dates back many, many years, and it's proven its success by you guys investing in us, which in turn we invest in you.
I love that. That's good, investment in each other.
Oh, sorry. How long have you been the police chief?
About 6 months.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm new.
We had an honor to meet the police chief, guys. We're sitting right here in front of him. It's really nice meeting you.
Oh, it's very nice meeting you. Thanks for having me, by the way.
Were you on patrol right up until this, or what that transition
So I was a captain, basically, in an office, just doing a lot of policy projects, engagement, kind of driving the narrative of what the police department's going to be doing the next several years. So we have two captains now, seven lieutenants. But as the new chief, I am more engaged in the community, mm-hmm. kind of outward facing, while the captains are inward facing, running the organization day to day.
So you're doing a lot of more community-based work. Yep. That's really good.
I didn't realize that's how it worked. Yeah.
It's a 24/7 operation. I always say that we're like Denny's. We never close.
That's for sure.
And like Denny's, my college professor would say, it's someplace you never plan on going, but you just end up.
You end up going.
And like the police station. Yeah.
Or the hospital, the emergency room. That's really good.
With over 25 years in law enforcement, what pivotal experiences have shaped your leadership style and vision for the Vacaville Police Department?
So pivotal experiences, I would have to say just as a collective, I've had the honor to work for a variety of different police chiefs over the years. I started in the city of Suisun in 1999, stayed there for a couple of years, and then came home to my city of Vacaville. And I've just watched different leaders throughout the years and how they navigated policing. And there's a lot of nuances to policing that most people will never understand. It's just like what you guys do. There's a lot of things when you talk about your jobs or what your passion is, there's a lot of nuances behind your passion that most people don't understand. Mm-hmm. That same thing with policing is there's a lot of back end work that people don't understand. But what I've had the privilege of seeing over the years is seeing and watching and experiencing very good leaders. There's a lot of leadership books out there. There's a lot of leadership principles out there. People tell you to do this, to do that. But what I've learned over the years, just be a human. Be a good human.
Yeah.
Treat people.
Follow the rules, guys.
Just, you know, there's right? Leadership principles are all over. But if you just treat people a certain way, mm-hmm. communicate with people, don't micromanage them, trust them. It's worked for me. And not only has it worked for me internally in the organization, but it's worked for me as a police officer when I was actually making arrests. Mm. And how people will come back to you later and say, thank you for treating me the way you treated me.
Wow.
Even though I did something wrong that day, you didn't disrespect me in front of my kids. You didn't disrespect me in front of my significant other. Mm. So that has always stayed with me. Just be a good human, treat people a certain way with respect. And that's kind of always been my way of saying how I'm going to lead, and it hasn't failed me yet.
I love that. I love that. That's a very good message. Community engagement is vital. What strategies are you implementing to strengthen the relationship between the police department and the Vacaville residents?
Community engagement is vital. It's the cornerstone of success for any police department. If you're not getting asked to go places or to be involved, you should ask yourself as a department, what am I doing wrong? Mm. For you to ask me to come on this podcast, I didn't have a whole lot of information about, mm-hmm. means that you want to hear from me. And that means a lot to me because I get to talk about my department. I get to talk about the men and women who are doing the good work every single day. And so if you're not inviting me and you're not learning and I'm not engaging you, you just live with what you think you know.
Right. Through this podcast, we're bringing more awareness.
You are.
Mm-hmm. And what you're saying already, I've learned so much. And based on social media, my views of the police department were different before I'm talking to you today. So I really do believe what you're saying is so important that we hear from you in a, you know, a more natural human communication.
Yeah, this is my first time actually ever interviewing a chief officer or a former police officer and seeing his own perspective and talking personally with you.
I just want to, you know, I want to advocate for the work that's being done because social media and the national media, they portray us in a certain way, and we can talk about that at length. And I know there's some additional questions that are probably going to come up that I'll defer to, but I'm very passionate about that subject and what we're doing to try to change the narrative of what and how people see us.
Yeah, that's great.
That's really good. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have to do an additional interview for that.
This might need to be a part two. That
is a great topic.
Yeah, you just don't hear people talking about it a lot, so it's really great to be here today. Okay, so talking about maybe some more of the specific initiatives that the Vacaville Police Department uses, can you tell us a little bit about the Real-Time Information Center and how in this AI age and technology, how is that affecting what you guys do on the ground and both maybe the relationship that you have with the community?
So I'm extremely excited about this project, and I would maybe do a podcast inside the Information Center with you guys, and I think you would love to see it.
Cool.
I would love to invite you inside to understand what we're doing, give you a tour of it. But real-time information centers are relatively normal on the East Coast, not normal on the West Coast. And the bigger agencies have them, New York, New Orleans, Boston, they have these information centers. The West Coast hasn't invested the money or the time into bringing them to their own police departments, but Vacaville has. And we spent about $4.3 million on this project. And it was all through a state grant to combat organized retail theft. So when you see people breaking into Target or going into the outlets and taking clothes and just driving away.
Right. Yeah, that happens.
I know, it's a lot. It's crazy.
There's a grant that came out to fight that. And so we took that money, built a real-time information center. And so part of that is a drone first responder program. So one of my objectives as a chief is to say, okay, our city's growing. Our response times to get across the city are going to be more challenging because there's more people in the streets, more homes being built, more businesses coming in, all which we want. But how do I keep the response times down? So just think of a theft in progress, a burglary in progress, a domestic violence in progress. How are we going to get there in a reasonable amount of time? So our priority one response time right now is between 5 and 7 minutes.
That's pretty quick.
Yeah.
There are cities, let's just put it this way. That is an amazing response time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That
sounds quick.
So how do
usually
I
it's
that?
Like 30 minutes, isn't it? Like 20?
Yeah, it could be up to 30 minutes. Sometimes it's up to 5 hours.
Yeah.
Jeez.
So
yeah.
My job as the chief is, that's quality of life for people, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're involved in an accident and you're waiting for people to arrive on scene, you're waiting for paramedics, fire department, police department, how do I get there? How do I get there in that 5 to 7 minute window when we continue to grow, but we're not necessarily adding police officers just because of the expense? We could talk about that if you want. But the Drone First Responder Program is, we are launching a drone from Travis Credit Union now inside our information center, and we're using it with a mouse pad and a keyboard, and we're saying, we're clicking it and saying, go to this address. Uh-huh. So if we have a traffic collision at, you know, Nut Tree and Orange Drive, we will launch the drone. We will send the drone overhead, and it's getting there prior to the fire department. It's getting there prior to the police department. And it's giving a video image to the responding public safety officers to say, hey, this person appears to be out of the car. They're walking around. We can reduce our we don't have to go code 3. Mm-hmm. Or we need to up it we need to up our response time based on how bad
that
the truck
is. That's amazing. Really, this cool. is really that good is, news.
So we're one of 6 in the nation.
Wow.
In the nation.
To have approval of the FAA. Wow. This is a big deal for that.
This sounds like a huge deal. Yeah. It is.
Are there any more in the state of California?
So Elk Grove is the model that we're following.
Okay.
And they're extremely successful. And they have led the way, and we're following them. So credit to them.
So just in case if there's an emergency or an accident, drone goes up first. Yep. You guys see it. Then you guys will call, like, first.
Yes. And I want to emphasize the point of, this is a reactionary thing. We're not just flying over your house.
Right.
We're responding to a 911 call, or we are responding to a request for an overwatch of a certain area. So, and all of those flights are tracked. It's recorded. So if anyone wants to say, hey, why are you flying this direction? We track it for transparency purposes. Mm-hmm. So it's all reactionary. We're not proactively just flying it to look at people.
Right.
So the information center itself, I can talk for hours. It's an amazing program. Extremely excited about it because it's advancing the city of Vacaville. Mm-hmm. It's advancing public safety. And most importantly, it's maintaining or improving your quality of life. And
that is
incredible. So is there anything else that is going on in the real-time information center? Or is it the primary project, those drones?
Yeah, so there's a couple pieces of technology that are transforming efficiency for us. So on our phones, most of us have Google, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so Google is pulling all these different things in to say, put in Chris Poland and see what you come up with. Well, Google is going to give you all these different things just by one simple search. Mm-hmm. Well, we're using a program called Peregrine, and it's basically doing the same thing for us. Our department has hundreds of different software programs that we use. Peregrine's integrating those, and we put in a keyword, and it pops up like Google does for us. So we're not having to open up all these different programs to look for what we need. So it's an efficiency model. So we're getting information in real time.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The other big piece of information or software that we're using is called BriefCam. And so imagine if we had a major crime that took place in an intersection or at a house, or we have a vehicle description and they say red truck with a black license plate. And they give us a window of, it could be a period of 3 days. We know that this truck came through this intersection within these 3 days. Mm. We could put in the dates, and instead of looking through 3 days of video footage and sitting there literally watching for a red truck, we just put in red truck, black license plate, and it pulls up all of those that have come through, or only one.
Technology has advanced.
Like, yeah, and this does, as you're saying this, like, I feel that there's a lot of safety here because
there is,
for example, like people trying to find somebody instead of sitting through
that
and
efficiency
find that person,
then
you know that the police department has got my back and they're going to take care of this. So that is
incredible. Is very good for all our listeners, good for us to know too.
Yeah, and so I guess another question, as you guys are, so say the drone, there's something happening, drone flies over, knowing, like, so if you're 20 minutes away from that spot, does you having the drone footage decrease that time?
That's a great question.
Where are we seeing this?
So we're trying to figure out that model of, okay, if the drone is overhead, does that quantify or qualify us saying we're on scene?
Mm.
We're still working through that.
Mm-hmm.
However, what it's going to do, if an officer is, you know, 5 minutes away or 7 minutes away, and the drone is there in 1 minute, at least we're providing real information to that officer who is another 5 minutes away. So it's constant update. So if we have a robbery at 7-Eleven,
right,
and the officer is 5 minutes out and that drone is overhead, it's following the person who left, or it's following the car that left. And it's providing real-time information to the officer who just responds to 7-Eleven and the car is already gone.
Yes.
So the drone will follow it. Our cameras, we have a robust camera system in the city of Vacaville.
So this will help a lot with the theft that's going around too, because I was at the mall, I think last year, with my kids, and they came in, wire cut all the, what is it, the tablet, the iPhones and everything. I was scared. I was like, this, oh my God, what are they doing? And they
They can follow it now.
They just ran off like nothing. I'm just like, that's it.
Yeah, especially with the Vacaville outlets. I mean, it's happening it's all the time.
Target, Walmart, it's a lot.
How do you think those people who work there feel?
Oh my gosh, I have
They're stressed out. I was just there as a customer trying to get help for my phone. And I was scared. Me and my kid.
Worried about your future in tech? Master new skills. Accelerate your team's impact. And redefine what's possible with Pluralsight. We're more than just another online learning platform. We're shattering the skills gap and shaping future generations of technologists. Transform your work. Transform your team. Ready to tap in? Visit us at Pluralsight.com to learn more.
All this inventory, so that just being able to stop the people, and if nothing else, like, you have a police officer coming on scene who's prepped for what they're walking into, which I think that alone
this
is
a huge thing. Like, it's so, because, you know, I'm a mom, right? So this is huge, knowing that our community is a lot safer.
But like you said, it's about the efficiency. You're not having all these police officers coming to one location. And you, another thing you mentioned, the growing community, you're having more situations you need to respond to. So with these drones, you know not to have 10 officers respond, but you know two.
They know exactly what's coming up ahead of you.
I guess the last thing I'll add on this topic, because I know you guys have other stuff for me, is...
It's a lot.
It's Information Center is about camera integration. And so any business, any school, any church can load their cameras into our center. So if something happens at that facility, they have already given us their access to view their cameras to see what's happening in real time.
Okay.
So my goal, one of my initiatives, I would love to get the Vacaville Unified School District. Kairos is already on board. I'm working on VCS. I want these churches to integrate their camera system into our center. If there's a major incident that occurs at Vacaville Unified in any of their schools, we want to be able to respond accordingly and look at their camera system in real time.
Great. That, this is exciting.
It's very
exciting.
I know. Go Solano County.
This is amazing. It's
very exciting.
So switching gears just a little bit, let's talk about the mental health crisis that we currently have. It's a growing concern. It's also Mental Health Month, the month of May. So how does the department adapt to better support an individual in a mental health crisis?
Oh, man. You know we're going to talk about this topic for
a while. We could sit here for a while.
We could sit here. It's an important topic.
So let me just start by saying mental health in police departments, in fire departments, and schools, hospitals, we're all hurting on trying to find money, resources in a timely manner.
Right.
And so as a police department, this, I have seen so many people that I have come across that were just in a crisis moment. Some people who just needed an avenue to vent, and some people who were just completely lost and took their life. So as a police officer, we come into this job and we're expected to handle this call for service, respond to this type of crime. But what I quickly realized is not only do you want me to be a mental health professional, you want me to be a family support worker. You want me to understand what's in front of me and can I diagnose it so I can respond properly. And then we went through a narrative years ago where we don't want police officers responding to mental health calls. And we also, the Sacramento sheriff publicly came out and is questioning whether his deputies should be responding to any mental health calls. And I haven't necessarily bought into that program yet. And the reason why is everything I do is a baseline of quality of life. So if you see someone that's in your neighborhood, in a store, wherever you feel uncomfortable that might be having a mental health crisis, if the police don't respond to that, you're going to feel unsafe. You're going to want me to respond. You're going to want our officers to respond. If your kids are around somebody that might be having a psychosis moment, you're going to want a police officer to respond. Now, I will say we've had a significant partnership with Solano County. They've been fantastic. Their mobile crisis has been amazing.
That's mm-hmm. great.
So we've kind of bridged the gap between not just a police officer coming, mm-hmm. mobile crisis is coming before us. If it's a low level, they're assisting. We may not even go to that call.
Yeah, yeah, they do have the mobile
it's
crisis.
Great.
Yeah,
it saved that's my amazing. Friend's life.
There you go.
Wow.
Yeah, they Four did times. The mobile crisis. Yeah, yeah.
That's
the
amazing. That, has mm-hmm. the 988 hotline, the suicide prevention hotline, has that affected people calling 911 at all? Has it filtered anything out, or do you think there's still maybe people who don't know about it?
I don't think it's necessarily out there as much as it should be.
Okay.
I think when people are in a crisis moment,
needs to be more awareness of it.
Yeah.
Yes.
They're going straight to 911.
Yeah. Everyone just calls 911.
That's what we were all taught. Yeah.
Since school time. Exactly. Yeah. Call 911 for everything.
Okay.
So it is a struggle for us, and it's funding. It is a challenge. Where do you, when someone's having a crisis moment, where do you send them?
Right, and it's so nuanced. Is it the hospital? Is it jail?
5150, right?
And in some cases, some of the police intervention can be probably even more traumatizing for the individual than what it is that they're experiencing. Mm-hmm. So, it is nuanced because who's...
Hospitals are struggling. Right?
Yeah, I'm
so
sure.
So if someone's placed on a 5150, they are taken to a local hospital typically for clearance, and sometimes they're not seen for days for clearance. Mm-hmm. And that's a struggle, and it's a resource management issue, and our hospitals are dealing with the impacts of beds being taken up because a 5150 is sitting there looking for placement.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a challenge across the nation.
It is.
And, you know, Vacaville's not immune from it, and I will tell you that we respond with the utmost compassion and understanding when people are in crisis, and we try to meet them where they are. Mm-hmm. I think that's the key to anything that we respond to, is understand where the person is at the moment you're speaking to them, and try to de-escalate as much as you can to get them to communicate with you effectively to figure out what the true crisis is,
right,
and how can we provide that resource management.
Wow.
So I guess they have to figure out which one is different stages of crisis.
Exactly. Yeah. Different.
Yeah.
Is this a safety concern? Is this, you know, and so... Yeah, I mean, there's so, we could go on a whole conversation on this, because there's so many parts involved. And when you talk about something's at the point of someone, police being involved, that person's really far off from recovery. So then how do we get that person back to being fully recovered and now integrating as a functioning member
Should
of society?
Should we involve
the
hospital?
So
mobile crisis?
It takes
a
village,
bunch,
and everyone has red tape. The hospitals have red tape. You guys have red tape.
You guys are
the
wise.
Psychiatric units have their red tape, and are those really beneficial for people? I don't know, you know, so there's a lot in this. Thank you for talking about this with us and just holding space, because I think the more we can talk about it, the more
awareness
we can maybe try to fill in those gaps. And there are a lot of organizations out there doing that, the mobile crisis unit, Safe Quest with domestic violence, you know, different places that we can get the right people.
CBEM from crisis is doing it too. North Bay, there's a whole bunch, but it's just not enough awareness, and a lot of people just don't know about it.
Right. And I think
we all are just familiar with call 911.
Exactly.
Call 911.
Yeah. And I think there's a huge call to community when we talk about mental health, because we all are responsible for our own mental health. And so it's the call to the community to really face ourselves, because when we face ourselves, then we can serve other people and help other people and fill those gaps. So I think my personal opinion when it comes to mental health is that it is heavily on the individual, the community piece,
the holistic
to
approach.
See the holistic approach. Yep. That's what it is.
I love
Bingo.
The word. Holistic approach.
Exactly.
That's right.
How does the department collaborate with local organizations to address issues like homelessness and youth outreach?
I believe Vacaville is doing an amazing job. Here's where people don't know. We have about 250 to 300 homeless in the city of Vacaville, unhoused. And we have a crew team. It's a community response unit. And what people don't know is our response team contacts every single one of those people.
Really?
Every single unhoused person, they contact them. The struggle that we have is not contacting them. It's the program resistant that we can't get resources to.
Yes. Right.
We're offering resources. We're willing to drive them to resources. We'll bring resources to them.
Mm-hmm.
But the program resistant is not helping them get better. And it's our obligation to keep trying and keep going, because you never know what day you're going to get them when they say, yes, I'm ready. Yes, I'm ready for an alcohol program. I'm ready for a drug program. Or I'm ready for housing. So I want you, all of you, to know who are listening, we do our best to get out there every single day and communicate with all of the homeless and provide resources. When they're ready, they'll tell us. And when they tell us, we'll get them the resources.
Mm-hmm. Can you give us some resources?
Sure. So Opportunity House is
my favorite.
Yes.
Their model is something that to be looked at. Ashley, who runs it, her story, just she's an amazing soul. And her story of where she was at and to where she's at today is she should write a book.
Wow.
And the people that she brings in to the Opportunity House, she is a firm believer in making sure people are lifting up, and she's going to lift them up. And she's the type of person who's just not going to give you things because you think you need it.
Mm-hmm.
She's making sure you work for it, and she's providing you pathways to success. So the Opportunity House is fantastic. Community response team is fantastic. Our shelter, Solano, Fairfield is fantastic. And the city of Acaville, what people don't know is the city of Acaville has hotel rooms that we put people in on a temporary basis to get them into the next phase. So the city of Acaville is funding a couple of hotel rooms for people who are ready for the next step, and we're looking for transitional housing.
I think what's so important with having you on this podcast is we're hearing your perspective, not the national media perspective, which is that these people aren't getting help, but really they're program resistant. They're resisting it. And
because on social media, all you hear is no one's helping, the government's not helping, the state's not helping, and why are they letting all these homeless? That's not true at all.
No.
Yeah.
When they're ready for help, we'll give it to them.
Yeah.
And we want them to be successful. Trust me. When we're out there contacting them, there's nothing more than what we want for them is to find a normal life like what we all have.
Mm-hmm.
And the process to get there is going to take a while. But we just need them to say, yes, I'm ready.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I'm sure you've seen this progress over being 25 years in law enforcement. I even think of big cities, San Francisco, San Diego, Los Angeles, where this is becoming a bigger problem.
It is.
Can you maybe pinpoint what might be contributing to why we're seeing an increase?
Mental health, drugs, alcohol, trauma.
Yep, there you go. Back to the mental health conversation. Yeah. What are your top priorities for the department in the next year, and how would you plan to achieve them?
So our first topic isn't necessarily like, wow, that's amazing, right? But it's really important to me, and we're starting an initiative inside the building. It's just it's a mission, vision, values, and culture initiative. So imagine where you work. Are you happy there? Do you know why you're doing the job? What's your why every single day that you're putting this uniform on? Who are you serving? And are you remembering that every day?
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to go through this culture initiative in the next year. It's going to be a huge lift. We've retained, he's amazing. His name is Lamont, Fortune 500 company. I won't talk about where, but he's doing this pro bono for us. And this man is all in on guiding our police department forward for the next year, on redefining our culture and making sure that every single day our officers, our professional staff, our dispatchers, our CSOs know their why, and it's articulated every day when they come to work. So that's one initiative. Obviously the RTIC operations to get that moving forward, recruitment, retention, community engagement. It's a staple of our organization that won't go away. School safety, I want those cameras integrated into our information center. In case of an emergency happens, I want to be able to respond to it in less than 5 minutes. I want to respond to
especially
it in a minute.
School safety.
Yeah, that's a big initiative. And obviously everything I do, obviously our department, every single day, we care about your quality of life. So if something pops up that we haven't planned for, we're going to attack it.
Mm-hmm.
And to make sure your quality of life is maintained or improved. So I know that's a lot in a year, but we're going to drive the bus forward.
Yeah, you're going to be in motion. And that first one you mentioned, that's huge. I mean, having you guys go through a lot, you guys are humans.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like a huge thing that you guys are, you're taking ownership of that culture of making sure your officers are supported. Because you guys deal with the same stuff that we're talking about. I mean, you're not any different than the people that are on the street. At the end of the day, like, we're all just human. And so I think it's really awesome that you are prioritizing your officers and making sure they're supported. And I think that's something that we can all do too, is like really supporting and appreciating our officers, understanding they are genuinely people too.
I can't tell you how grateful we are when we go into a Starbucks or a restaurant and someone just comes over and says, thank you.
That means the world to you, right?
World to us. Because the national narrative.
So we need to do
different.
It more, especially to our listeners.
Just say
we
thank
need
you.
To go up to say,
just say thank you. It means the world to us.
Yeah, I think that's something unique about Vacaville, I'll be honest, because I went to Rodriguez for high school and then I transferred to Vacaville, and I realized the kids there, they all want to be police officers or firefighters, and they all have their firefighter flags on their truck. They're passionate, and whenever we're, I'm passionate with my friends and others. They see veterans or police officers, we're always like, thank you for your service. Thank you. So it's I think it's just a tradition here. And
that's a culture that we want to embrace.
Exactly. Yeah, that's great. Yes.
That's really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For community members who wants to get involved or provide feedback, what avenues are available for them?
So I guess it depends on how they want to give back, how much they want to provide. But there's a couple of programs for, we're starting an ambassador program. So what does that mean?
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what does that mean?
So we're looking for people who have some time on their hands, who want to be an ambassador for the police department. So I want you to walk down Main Street, and I want you to engage the business owners, the community, and I want you to say that you're an ambassador for the police department. What would you like to know about the police department? This is the chief's message. Mm-hmm. What is happening in your neighborhood? What is happening in your business that you would like the chief to know? How can we address it? I'm trying to get people back to human contact.
Mm-hmm.
Social media is very successful for us. We will never get away from that. Extremely beneficial for our organization. But some people out there that just need to know that we are approachable. And our ambassadors are going to start that approachable side of it again. We're going to get out of the car.
Okay.
We're going to communicate, and we're just going to talk. So we're looking for ambassadors. Two, we have a volunteer program. We have them do different assignments in the organization. So that's always an option. We do a citizen academy. I would highly recommend anyone that wants to give up one night a week for 8 weeks to join our Citizen Academy. You will be blown away by the amount
and
of services.
How can people sign up for all this?
We post it on social media.
Stay safe on the roads with Rain-X Vision Beam Wiper Blades, now at Menards. For over 40 years, Rain-X has provided drivers with products to outsmart the elements. Their Vision Beam Wiper Blades are easy to install and are designed to provide a smooth, streak-free wipe every time. Save big money on all Rain-X products now at Menards. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
All the time. So looking for ambassadors, looking for volunteers, looking for people.
And what website on
just the police department website.
Just the police department, mm-hmm. Or just Solano County or Vacaville?
City of Vacaville Police Department. In reference to feedback, we're very good at taking it. So we're constantly receiving your feedback, hearing your feedback. And most of the feedback that we get is very positive. I appreciate you handling that. I appreciate you going to this call. I appreciate you arresting that person who was victimizing mm-hmm. other people. So we have a very supportive community. So good feedback and bad feedback, you can do it on our social media account.
Vacaville has a great social media presence. You guys really do. Sometimes it's funny and I'm like, okay, I see you. It's good. And it's always like, you know, it's a way for us to stay involved and know like what's going on within the city. So.
That's
great job
really good.
To whoever is doing that.
We have a team of people that it's an adjunct assignment. So
okay.
They're spread throughout the organization. They can be an administrator. They can be a police officer. They can be professional staff. So all of them are engaged in this team.
That's great.
Yeah.
Okay. Reflecting on your own youth in Vacaville, what inspired you to pursue a career in law enforcement?
Yeah, we were talking about this a little bit earlier. But I will tell you, I grew up playing sports. In Vacaville, I loved playing baseball, and that was kind of my passion. And so when you play sports, you're involved in some type of team concept, and all of a sudden you don't have it.
Right.
You miss it.
You do.
And what provides it? And I was always a big supporter of the military. I was a big supporter of public safety. I didn't have the firefighter flag on my truck in high school. So I had to stick with the police route. I love our firefighter friends. They're amazing. But I found policing kind of by chance. One of my mentors in life kind of guided me, said, hey, what do you think about doing this? Because I was talking about being a correctional officer.
Mm.
And someone just said, hey, you know, why don't you try policing? Why don't you take a look at it? And I never looked back. I loved it. I love service. I love people. I love helping. And I love the camaraderie that policing brings. Mm-hmm. The brotherhood, the sisterhood that we have. I mean, we fight like everybody else does, but
yeah.
we do love each other. And
just born to be a police officer.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love
it's
it.
Calling.
Like,
yeah, it is. Yeah.
So I haven't looked back. And when they say if you do something you enjoy, that's no longer work.
Have you worked in other fields, in other careers, or just as a police officer?
So I worked at, it was called ALZA at the time, Johnson & Johnson. I was producing tablets, right, for drugs. And then I worked at Rayleigh's for a while. And then I worked in
outlets. Retailed health.
Yeah.
Yeah, quite the switch. But I'm sure those skills help you.
It's all people-based.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all people-based.
Mm-hmm. And so, he finally found his calling.
Yeah.
And I love it. I love it.
Can you share any programs or initiatives aimed to mentoring youth or providing them with positive role models within the police force?
The youth to us, what we've realized over the years, if we get you right at the third grade level, you're still influenced, right? and you haven't gone the firefighter route yet. So we try to get you young. We try to say, hey, policing.
So third grade is a good age.
That's where you'll start seeing us more. The stickers. But, you know, the pathway to be a police officer or a CSO or a dispatcher, we often suggest starting as a cadet. There's so many pathways to get there, a cadet, to police apprentice, to CSO, to dispatcher, to police officer, whatever you want. There's so many different functions within a police department that people aren't aware of. Evidence technicians, RTIC now. So when you think of policing, it's not just the police officer in the uniform, right? There's so many variables that we're looking for. And dispatchers, I will tell you, is probably one of the hardest things to find, to recruit for and maintain. That is a very difficult job.
Yeah, I know a lot of dispatchers and even ex-dispatchers, mm-hmm. and they talk about how hard it was.
It's tough.
But they were passionate about it, and they love to talk about it, but it's
they're like the front lines.
They're the ones receiving you, right?
Yeah,
they're the
right.
first initial contact.
Mm-hmm.
But in reference to our programs, we have PAL out there, Police Activities League. That's huge. Judith Franco, she runs it. It's fantastic. There's Shop with a Cop. There's Halloween Stroll. You'll see us at Merriman on Main. We're invited to so many different events. As a matter of fact, I might have an email from our outreach coordinator. She said, hey, I have all of these events today. Can you guys come help me? I mean, we are you.
Mm-hmm.
That's my point. We are our community. And if we do not connect with our community, we lose it.
Yeah.
So we are passionate about staying in tune with what you guys want, and you guys are driving the future of our organization based on how we engage you and what you tell us.
Yeah, and we got really to sit down with Kyle Allen from PAL.
Oh yeah, he's great.
Week. He's amazing.
He's great.
I was blown away by, and that's just one piece of, like, especially with youth engagement and involvement. And they talk a lot about mental health, social,
yes.
emotional health,
yes.
drug abuse, the AWARE program, all of that stuff for the kids 7 to 18. And he was saying how amazing it is for the kids when they do the meetings. Some of the officers will come and they'll sit in the back, and then they'll ask questions as well while they're giving the lesson. And the kids realize, oh my gosh, he's asking the same question that I had about, you know, something emotional or social. And just that impact of, like, you guys being in the rooms, like, and it's all connecting. I'm like, wow, we just heard about that. And then there's so, like you said at the beginning, it's so nuanced. There's so many things, especially Vacaville's doing a great job that you guys are boots on the ground. They told us about Shop with a Cop, which I had never heard about before.
Yeah,
and it sounds magical.
I see that on social media.
Yeah,
really,
that
was it the Walmart
amazing
one?
Thing.
They were shopping at Walmart?
Target.
And they get
okay.
to go and
Aww.
Buy gifts for their parents, and they shut down Target, and they shop with a
it's
cop.
Always,
and
it's always fun seeing the kids like, oh, this is for my brother, but we know it's for them. But I will say, I do have to give credit to the city of Vacaville. I mean, the elected officials, the city manager, the people that are saying, hey, this is important, they're funding these programs.
Mm.
The Kyles, the Judiths, the AWARE program, Shop with a Cop. All of these things take resource management.
Mm-hmm.
It takes funds. It takes financial commitments, and our city does it.
That's
Most
great.
Cities don't commit like they do, so we're very grateful.
Can I ask one more question about the department addressing juvenile delinquency?
Oh, yeah.
Because that's, again, part of PAL, especially the youth. How do you engage community involvement in an issue like that?
So I have to say that we also have youth services officers on campus.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a sergeant, we have police officers on campus, we have counseling interns on campus. So people that are in college trying to get their degree, they have to have a certain number of hours. They come to our campuses and they're addressing mental health. And what we find oftentimes at campuses, people that are suffering with mental health also have some delinquency issues because they're experiencing trauma at home or have experienced trauma in the past. So it's the police department being connected with the counseling, being connected with our friends with the Vacaville Unified School District. They're our biggest partner. And so if they start seeing delinquency issues in the schools, they'll often communicate with us and vice versa. If we start seeing issues that are taking place at home, or if we had to arrest a juvenile, we'll often communicate a pathway for them to be successful. So we have a diversion program. Lucia runs that. So if someone's arrested, our goal is to keep them out of court.
Right.
And so we'll bring that juvenile in, they'll work with Lucia, and Lucia kind of gives them a pathway of saying, if you do these things, it doesn't go to court. Mm. So it's just kind of it's a written contract between the police department and the juvenile to say, let's get you on a path for success. Mm-hmm. And if we can divert them from going to court and get them on a path of success, of accomplishing step-by-step goals, the recidivism rate is way down. But we have to catch them early and mm-hmm. not just send them and hoping someone else is going to take care of it.
Right.
So the police department takes ownership of the delinquency and tries to address it with the parents or address it with counseling services to provide them a path of success.
That's great. And it sounds a lot like, again, what Paul was doing, where their whole thing was that they don't want to create more fear and shame for the juveniles. And it sounds like that's right in line with your method and for what you're doing.
So Lucia works very closely with Judith and Powell and Kyle okay. and Powell. So they're mm-hmm. all connected. So when we talk about resources, we figure out what's the best path for this juvenile mm-hmm. and let's send them there. And sometimes right. it's Powell, because sometimes they just need interaction with other kids on the same platform
yeah.
to be connected. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes they feel isolated. They don't know where to go. They don't know who to talk to. We provide those resources. And right. sometimes it's just
really good.
It's yeah. pure. It's, mm-hmm. it's pure relationships.
Yeah, relationships.
Is there anything else you want to share with our listeners that we didn't cover yet?
Yeah, I actually have some. I have a couple of things that you might be surprised at.
Oh, cool.
So I'm going to ask, you probably saw this.
I didn't. I promise. I saw force.
Force. Yeah,
there you
I
go.
I saw the word force.
So I want the three. I get to ask one question.
Oh,
how the turntable. We got a test. We did a test.
And you, each one of you have to give me a number.
Okay.
So every year we have to do a use of force report, and we send it to the state. And we tell the state, this is how many times the police officers have used force on a person, maybe during an arrest. So how many times in 2024 did the Vacaville Police Department use force on somebody?
What is using force encompass?
So it could be pepper spray, it could be taser, it could be lethal force, unfortunately.
Action.
Taking down somebody.
Okay.
So how many times? I think it's pretty safe in Vacaville. So what would be your number? I would say 5,000.
Okay. I have mine. Mine is.
Let me give you a little bit more information.
Yeah.
Okay.
Real quick.
Maybe I'm over exaggerating.
No, I was going to say.
Look at Haley's thinking. Lady, Haley got her hand in her head.
I don't want to know because I want to get the answer right.
I should tell you that last year we had 63,431 calls for service.
Okay. So it's anything
63,431 calls for service.
Okay.
So that's 63,000 times our officers responded to a call. How many times did we use force in
2024?
Oh. I kind of like your number. Now.
5, 4...
No,
I think
you each have to give me a number.
We have to give them.
You
a
have
number.
To give me a number.
I'm gonna guess 3,000.
Okay.
I'm gonna say 350.
Oh,
okay.
I said 5.
5.
I said earlier 5,000.
So 5 or 5,000?
Can I change my number?
5.
5?
Yeah.
Like 5
what
times?
Are you saying?
Like 5. No, like.
Because it's 66,400 for service 3, calls, right?
64,000 calls for service.
I'll 64. Keep it 3,000.
I'll stick to my 5,000.
And you're 350. Mm-hmm. Okay. You should be extremely proud of our police department. There's 36 times we use force.
Oh, so that's it?
Most people think it's 5,000. Most people think it's 3,000. It's 36
total.
Times.
What?
That's wild.
We're all wrong. That was a good one.
That was a good one.
Out of those 36, how many were related to mental health crisis? How many times on a mental health person?
30.
I would say...
I would say all 36.
I would say 35 at least.
5.
Oh.
5. What's the other... Oh, traffic's... No.
What was the other one?
I'm getting a ticket. I'm like, I hope not.
Drug and alcohol.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
So the drugs and alcohol are... The main issue when people are
Number was that one, drug and alcohol?
18.
Oh,
do you guys have domestic violence stats at all?
I didn't bring them with me, but we do.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
What I'm trying to articulate to you in my closing message is the amount of training that our officers go through, the amount of education that they have. We're really pushing the 4-year degrees it's hard to get them in the door right away to say, hey, I want you to have a four-year degree before you could be a police officer. Mm-hmm. But what we have found is once they're in the Vacaville Police Department, they go back to school, educate themselves. All of your administrators have master's degrees. Point being is we train a lot, we hire appropriately, we hire for human kindness. Mm-hmm. We hire humans that want to do a job that serves our community. And what I think is underestimated with the city of Vacaville is we are your coaches. We are your instructors in different segments. I understand that I have a pageant mom.
You do.
You do.
You
sure do.
So, you do.
So what I'm trying to articulate to you is not only are we your police officers or we're your dispatchers, but we're your coaches, we're your friends, we're your neighbors. We go to the same store with you. We go to the same gym with you. We are a part of this community, and we want the same thing that you guys want. Now, use of force is never pretty, but it is a fact of our job. It does happen. People do not like the police sometimes, and sometimes the police have to use force. So my ask of you, this is my message. As your chief, give me some grace. If you see a use of force on TV and it's on national news or it's on the local news or it's on a social media feed, give me grace. Mm-hmm. There's no other job in the world that requires body-worn cameras, in-car camera. People talk about transparency and accountability. Think about your job if you had to wear a body-worn camera to every single call for service that you went to.
Right.
Or a in-car camera that has a GPS on it and is tracking how fast you're going. That is transparency. That is accountability. And so when something comes out that you don't necessarily like, let me and my team be the experts in reviewing it and have the trust and accountability in me to tell you this is in policy, out of policy, or this police officer did what they were supposed to do. Mm-hmm. So I guess I want trust from the community. I want grace from the community. And just know that our police officers are doing everything they can to hold themselves accountable. But please don't judge them so quickly because they're trying to do a job in a moment's notice that most people don't understand and have the full facts.
And when you guys see them, come go up to them and say thank you.
It's normally Starbucks now. That's where you'll find
it's Starbucks.
But I do want to say thank you for allowing me to give my message out. And again, I'm gonna invite you guys to our real-time information center.
Yes, we would love
Let's do the podcast in there. You should talk to our Arctic manager. You'll love her. And what she's going to bring to our department and her team is going to bring to our department, you'll be very proud of.
Ooh, we're excited for that
one. It's amazing how you're speaking, doing this interview. We're talking on a national level and a community level, and we need to bring this to a national level because, like you're saying, there's a divide between the people and the police, and you need to bring... Yeah, we need to bring it together.
Yeah, thank you for just sharing your heart and stories with us.
Just tell my story, please.
Yeah,
tell
exactly. Them. Yes. It's so powerful. Absolutely. And I think it just gives us, everyone listening, and gives all of us, for one, we can rest assured knowing that we're taken very good care of in Vacaville, and you know, just getting this message out to all of Solano County, all of California, the nation, and just to even shift our perspective on how we see and view the police officers, knowing that they want to protect us, they want to serve us, they want us to increase the quality of life, and not with fear and shame and beating down, but with really providing resources, and you guys are doing an incredible job.
Right, knowing that they're doing such an amazing job keeping the community safe.
Mm-hmm. All right.
All right, thank you to our listeners. Bye for now.
Worried about your future in tech? Master new skills. Accelerate your team's impact and redefine what's possible with Pluralsight. We're more than just another online learning platform. We're shattering the skills gap and shaping future generations of technologists. Transform your work. Transform your team. Ready to tap in? Visit us at Pluralsight.com to learn more. At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.